Week 11 off with a bang here on Thursday Night Football. We get a good one. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff, oddly calm that it's just a matter of hours. His Philadelphia Eagles are going to be playing for first place in the NFC East. They take on the Commanders. These are the two teams that are viable in the NFC East. So this is a big, big game. And you seem just calm. I'm not used to witnessing this.
There's a report that all the Eagles are healthy. And honestly, last year the Commanders tore their defense apart with Sam Howell. So I expect some points, but Washington's defense is not great. And if you have A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley on the field, that's tough to stop. I mean, I've not been high on the Eagles, but I assume Saquon Barkley is going to get hurt at some point. But right now, like, tell me how you defend them, Maggie. Put your defensive coordinator hat on. Who do you focus on?
Well, the Washington Commanders have been pretty bad this year in allowing touchdowns to star receivers. So of the 17 touchdowns that they've allowed this year, 7 of them have been to number one receivers, including 2 to Mike Evans and 2 to Ja'Marr Chase. So if I gave you that stat, you'd probably say A.J. Brown is the guy that you have to stop. Yeah. But then here's Saquon Barkley. So how do you afford to have, you know, extra guys in coverage when Saquon Barkley is right there at the line of scrimmage, and when Jalen Hurts does decide to run, he can be effective as well.
By the way, Mike Williams is hardly a star, and he beat the Washington cornerbacks last week for the game-winning touchdown. So you don't even have to be great to do this. I think Washington's defense is still sneaky pretty bad. They do have some old guys like Bobby Wagner. He's pretty tough. But generally, I think that's a big advantage. Yeah, I am weirdly calm.
Yeah, I've never seen you like this. Usually you're, you know, trying to, you know, mitigate expectations, or you're trying to do reverse jinxes, and you're just ready here. This is basically, it's not really a Dan Quinn, Nick Sirianni kind of matchup because no one knows when Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles, actually does. But it's more of a Vic Fangio, Cliff Kingsbury matchup. Vic Fangio, the defense coordinator for the Eagles, and Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. But I asked you a question last night, and I don't know if we know the answer. And my question was, remember when Jalen Hurts used to be a top 5 quarterback?
Yeah.
Remember that time?
Yeah, when he went mano a mano with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
I feel like that happened. That wasn't a fever dream. That actually happened. But I don't think there's anybody outside diehard people in Delco County who would say that Jalen Hurts is a top 5 QB. And I asked you this question. Who's actually closer to being in the top 5 conversation? Is it Jalen Hurts or is it Jaden Daniels, who's just tearing people up as a rookie?
Well, I mean, the weird thing is Jalen Hurts is having his best seasons stat-wise. Like, he's ripping up the stat sheet every day. I understand what you're saying. Like, before we talk about Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts may not be a top 5 quarterback consistently, but, like, you would not be surprised on any given day if he beats any. Like, he destroyed Joe Burrow. And that was not like, wow, that's weird. Because you've seen him, like, for some reason, his best game is as good as anyone. The problem is Jalen Hurts has these bad moments. Like, last year when he threw a game-losing pick to the Jets. Like, he just makes mistakes. He almost doesn't even fit into one category. Sometimes he's a top 5 quarterback. Sometimes he's not. Consistency-wise, he's probably 8 to 12. But this year so far, he's getting used to Kellen Moore, the new offensive coordinator. He's pretty darn elite. I mean, he is, especially with Saquon Barkley there, like, I think he gets some of the credit. Like, he's a lot closer to 5 than I think maybe 15.
But the question is not Jalen Hurts versus the field. Right now we're asking you Jalen Hurts versus Jaden Daniels. Well, who's closer to being a top 5 QB?
I think it's Jalen Hurts.
Well, he has more experience, obviously, because this is year 5 for him. But so you're right. Jalen Hurts having a good year. Statistically, he's going to top 2,000 yards in tonight's game. He's so close. And then 12 touchdowns to 5 picks.
5 picks were all in the first 2 games.
But you know the other funny thing about Jalen Hurts? Because I think he is a good quarterback. I don't think he's top 5, but he is a good quarterback, and he can do everything. But even against the Dallas Cowboys, which ended up being a blowout, Philadelphia wins. He took 5 sacks in the first half of that game.
Yes, but here's the thing. It's a style of football. And same thing with Jaden Daniels. Certain quarterbacks hold on to the ball to try to make a play. So with that, there was another play where he broke through, climbed the pocket, and had a long touchdown.
Right.
So to get those mobile quarterback plays, you're going to take some sacks. You take the good with the bad.
Meanwhile, Jaden Daniels already over 2,000 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and their quarterback ratings are basically about the same, 101 to 103. I mean, this is a very, very interesting chess match tonight. And by the way, the Commanders look like they're going to get Brian Robinson back.
That kills the Eagles.
Now, this is the running back, obviously, formerly from Alabama. Yeah. This is a big deal because in the only games where the Commanders have not rushed for more than 100 yards, both of those games, Brian Robinson was not playing. So clearly he changes a lot with the offense. And that opens things up, you would think, for Terry McLaurin and for other receivers on the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, Jaden Daniels is working with a lot less than Jalen Hurts is.
Definitely.
There was a big drop by, I think it was De'Ami Brown last week. It's really Terry McLaurin or bust. And you're right, it's huge to have Brian Robinson back. If anything, I give Jaden Daniels a lot of credit for this. Cliff Kingsbury's pretty good. I mean, he can call plays. I don't know if he's ever going to be a good head coach, but he definitely can get your offense going. Still, last week we saw against the Steelers, like, feel like the Jaden Daniel things is cooling off a little bit. And I'm a huge fan. He's definitely winning Rookie of the Year, but I don't hear MVP talk at all anymore.
So that may have coincided with Brian Robinson getting hurt, but also he's got some bruised ribs, I think, that they're not really, I don't say talking about,
yeah,
but it's definitely something that's happening.
Yeah. Well, here, let me ask you this question. Yeah. Say that Jalen Hurts wins 34-10. Do you think we're going to get back to the Jalen Hurts as a top five quarterback? Is that still on the plate for him? Or have we seen enough where we're never really going to believe he's that guy again? Because I think it's possible.
I think he can get himself back into that conversation. The question is, though, you have so many great games this weekend that feel like they're going to be wild takeaways from some of the outcomes. Like, if Josh Allen has a great game against Kansas City, is he back? Is he out in the driver's seat now for MVP?
Yeah.
If Lamar Jackson, who historically has had terrible games against Pittsburgh by his standards, he's taken more sacks against Pittsburgh, thrown more picks against Pittsburgh. The Steelers have done a very nice job of having Lamar's, like, number, quote unquote. So does his MVP candidacy take a hit if he plays that division rival? Ask you if Joe Burrow gets back into the mix if Cincinnati ends up having a big win over the Chargers. Same thing 49ers if they have a big win over the Seahawks.
Yeah. Flip Justin Herbert. If he has a big win over Cincinnati, right, they're a lot. But here's one thing about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. They're grandfathered in. We don't go week to week on them. We know they're elite.
Yeah, Mahomes, obviously.
Yeah, I think there's, in my mind, if you're doing rankings, there are four guys. We don't go week to week on Lamar. We don't go week to week on Josh Allen, Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. I think those guys can have a bad game and we're not going to ding them. But then there are all these other, I'll call them the Brock Purdy types, who are like the flavors of the month, where like, oh, Jalen Hurts is the best. Now Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback. Now
Jared
it's Justin
Goff.
Herbert. Now it's Goff. Like, those guys, you're right, every week we make a referendum on.
Well, and, you know, we're talking about the Commanders and the Eagles tonight, but is this also one of those weeks for Russell Wilson?
Yeah, that's another guy. All of a sudden, Russell Wilson, a top 10 quarterback?
I mean, you thought Russ might have been a grandfathered in kind of dude, but then it got
no.
so bad with Denver.
No.
And he almost, we weren't sure if he was actually beating Justin Fields out for this job.
Remember the talk that he was ruining his Hall of Fame legacy by playing so poorly?
I do remember, because I think it was you and I who were saying.
Yeah, now he's going to go in the Steelers helmet he's playing so well.
Wouldn't that be something? 855-212-4227. Want to talk about this quickly from a betting angle? So tonight's game, you're talking about really liking the Eagles here. This started off as Eagles favored by 4.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you this, I've checked it 3 times during the course of our show. So not paying attention to anyone says, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It's gone between 3.5 and 4 just throughout the course of the morning. Now, to me, anything over 3.5, even 4, I'm so tempted to take the Commanders here, because do I really think this is more than a field goal game, even in Philadelphia? So that's one thing. The total, 48.5. I think they're going to blow through that tonight. The total, I have no problem with betting the over.
Feels low. Last year I lost twice on the Eagles Commanders games because I kept up like, the Commanders are terrible. The Eagles are going to kill them, and the Commanders just have their number offensively. Eagles won both games. Commanders covered both. Both games went over by 60 miles. But then again, I don't know. That 48 is interesting. I do feel like people are looking like, ooh, the Eagles are going to be able to shut down Jaden Daniels. But they're full strength. They have a pass rush. They have now, all of a sudden, they have a secondary with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, the rookies. It does feel like there's a chance that Jaden Daniels gets shut down. I kind of hope not. I'd like a shootout, even as an Eagles fan.
Yeah, the only thing about the Eagles pass rush, I know you have a pass rush, and it's been good to see Jalen Cooper or Jalen Carter, excuse me. But I think the numbers are a little inflated with getting to face the likes of Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones and Cooper Rush. I'm not saying they're a bad unit. I just think that the numbers might not tell the full story there.
No, that's a really great point. But the names are, there's some big names there. What's the guy we got from the Jets? I don't even remember his name anymore. Bryce Huff. What a joke. But he should get after the quarterback as well. They also, the Eagles have this super weapon. This guy named Zach Bone.
He just won NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
He's incredible. Like, I feel like I should know more about his backstory, but he's awesome. So I think Vegas might say, hey, maybe Jaden Daniels, the magic runs out, because you could say the same thing about him. He's torched a lot of bad teams. Looked pretty good against Steelers, but only completed 50% of his passes. So I think that's what Vegas is thinking.
Before we get back to our bonus great debate for today, yesterday was the greatest boxing match of all time. Today is what's the greatest fictional fight of all time, like on-screen fight, in honor, an homage to Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul this Friday night. Before we get back to those calls, can you just really quickly set the scene for us? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, division game, first place on the line. Just what's the crowd? What are the sights, the smells,
The smells are beer and urine. What do you think they are? This is a night game. People are going to be loaded. Yeah. That's basically the national smells. I haven't been to a night game there in a while because I'm too scared.
You root for the home team.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, it is a vicious, vicious place. Yeah, this, you know, the Commanders, they're the third rival. It's number one Cowboys, number two Giants. Then Commanders are third. Yeah, they hate the Commanders.
So what does it look like when the Eagles crowd's, quote unquote, taking it easy on people? Just a couple punches to the liver?
No, I mean, here's the thing. The Lake is a lot nicer than the new stadium than the Vet. At the Vet, it was just like, it's like the movie The Warriors. It was basically, we did the greatest fictional fight scene.
Yeah.
You did Anchorman.
Yeah.
That was the Vet. You had a trident, brass knuckles.
Got to hide out for a while after.
You could show up to a game with nunchucks. It was fine back then. It was pure Thunderdome. This is a little more civilized. But no, Maggie, I wouldn't suggest going down. You have a child. Do not bring them down to Philadelphia tonight.
You do not
want them to grow up in a hurry.
I wasn't planning to get within 100 miles of that stadium. No thanks.
Aren't we within 100 miles of Philadelphia?
I live in Jersey. 855-212-4222. I do live a little closer.
But if, luckily,
we're 99 miles
away. We're going to get all that energy from Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit.
They got a good one tonight.
There's going to be like a brawl in the crowd, and Al's going to be talking about the steak place he went to in South Philly last night.
Honestly, talking about Al Michaels' diet never gets old to me.
And happy birthday. Turned 80 yesterday.
Amazing. I'm always a sucker for a good, like, what do athletes eat? Like, I saw another thing about DK Metcalf from the Seattle Seahawks this week. One meal a day.
Yep.
And outside of that one meal a day, it's only candy.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
The candy guys are incredible.
But instead, we're going to get about how Al Michaels ate at Giorgio on Pine and didn't have any vegetables.
Yeah, which is also awesome. No, I'm
Giorgio on Pine?
I haven't been.
Oh, you haven't? I've been. Very good. Very good stuff at Giorgio on Pine.
Manny. Fine dining. Yeah,
that's right. That's
Where do you
right.
think those mean tweets are coming from? The corner table.
Not just the guy who sends mean tweets and just wields a wiffle ball bat around.
We asked for the greatest fictional fight scene of all time. I went with Anchorman. Perloff went with Rocky. EJ went with the Avengers. And Manny went with Saving Private Ryan. Which one of these things is not like the other?
Schindler's List not available for you? What's the deal, dude?
Bogus went with Happy Gilmore versus Bob Barker. And
explosions, gunfire. Sounds like a fight to me.
No, we know. It's just... Really? Saving Private Ryan? Let's go to the phones. Greatest fictional fight scenes of all time. Let's get into... Charles is our friend in Maine. Charles, who do you have?
Good morning, and I might have missed this if it came up earlier. If it didn't, I can't believe it, but Harry Potter versus Voldemort at the end of Deathly Hallows.
So it hasn't come up yet, and I'm going to blame EJ?
No.
Or Perloff. Who are the two nerdiest people on the show?
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, I had a feeling you might go there.
Oh, are you, EJ, are you a Harry Potter guy?
No.
You're
I'm
not?
A huge Harry
not
Potter
even
guy.
Close.
Okay, Perloff, why didn't you bring up Harry Potter
why
versus Voldemort?
Nerds?
Because I already know what, by the time I saw the movie, I already knew what happened.
Because you Google it?
No, because everyone knows that. I mean, the kid can't be beat, Harry Potter. He's undefeated. There's no way Voldemort was going to win that battle. Right, Charles?
No, there wasn't any way, but that scene where they locked their wands together was pretty epic.
So I have a question for you guys about, Charles, thank you so much. That's a great one. We had not brought it up yet, and I just kid about the nerds. I realize Harry Potter's one of the most successful books of all time and movies of all time. We'll try to be less nerdy. When can I read this to my kid? What age?
Pretty soon. So when, because it gets darker and darker and darker as J.K. Rowling's son gets older and older. By the end, that scene he's talking about, it is heartbreaking. Like, she kills everybody. Not to spoil, like, it gets super dark.
She, you mean Harry?
J.K. Rowling kills all the characters. She talks a lot about that. The first book is for kids, and then it gets older and older and older. So you could start probably at 7.
Okay. Well, it turns out J.K. Rowling, she's like nuttier than a hoot owl, right? Anyway, okay, so Lucas is 5, so I still have a while for that. I don't want to creep him out. Hey, Big Friendly's on the line. What's up, Big Friendly?
Good morning, Magsy. Good morning, EJ the EP, my man Manny, 411, and Daddy Cool. I think the greatest fight never seen but explained was on the Boondock Saints when they found the two Russian hitmen dead. And I believe the detective, some Irish name, and he was going off on this story like, these two dudes are coming home drunk. Some guy jumps out the bushes, hits him. Where you going? Nowhere. Nowhere. Like, it was just, his explaining of that fight was just so hilarious, and it was totally off basis.
Wait, Big Friendly. So I've never seen Boondock Saints, but I know a little about it. It's like a Irish mob movie? No.
No, so basically, their roles, they're like saints. They're Irish saints, and they're in Boston, and they're like going against like the underworld. But I don't think when they made the movie, it was supposed to be the cult classic and the great movie it was, but you have to watch it. And my man, Daddy Cool, before you let me go, your new nickname is the spoiler. Stop telling people the end of movies.
Harry Potter? Big Friendly, Harry Potter, by the way.
A lot of movies. You said that 3 times today. I don't want to be a spoiler, but they die at the end. I don't want to be a spoiler. but Daddy Cool, you're still the man. You're still the man.
By the way, in a million years, I would not have guessed you were a Boondock Saints fan. Have you ever seen the documentary about the making of?
Yes, I have. I've seen both of them and the cartoon. There's a cartoon called The Boondocks, and there was a fight between Usher and a guy, Tom. It's hilarious. It's a cartoon. But the Boondock Saints movies, they're going to be cult classics forever.
Love it. You guys
have a great day. Thank you for your time, and I love you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Big Friendly. Wait, right back at you.
Am I spoiling things by saying the fighter ends up getting hurt at the end of Million Dollar Baby, or that... I mean, I said that Darth Vader throws a fight against Luke. If you haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, there's a statute of limitations when it comes to spoiling.
That was 1984.
Yeah, you see, that's before history started, so.
Right.
That's BC to Manny. Anything before the year 2000.
And honestly, if you don't know what happened, you could guess that you really think Voldemort's going to win the final battle and kill Harry Potter?
I'm undefeated. Never lost.
Well, we didn't. I think if you're watching Rocky, you probably don't think that Apollo's going to win the first one. You think it's setting up that Rocky's going to win, but he loses. So, yeah, there's a spoiler. But I think Rocky came out in 1979, so I think we're clear on
76,
that.
76, right? It won the Oscar.
I mean, that's not a spoil anymore.
Yeah. Big Friendly does have a good point. I've said the sentence, I don't want to spoil this, at least 5 times this show.
Manny's is the big one. We all know how that ended.
Spoiler
thank God.
The Americans beat the Germans.
Thank God.
Yeah, you have a spoiler on Anchorman that he never went to jail. Yeah. Brick killed somebody with a trident.
Right. No, he doesn't go to jail. Yes. I was like, Ron Burgundy? The panda? No. 855-212.
I'm Maggie Gray.
227. Veronica Corningstone. Okay. The greatest fictional fights of all time. You're welcome to weigh in. We have so much more. And also, EJ, can we put this poll up? Who's closer to being a top 5 quarterback, Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniel? Okay, lots more to do, including a check-in with one of our absolute faves. Don't move.
All right, Maggie, you know that I am feeling the NBA right now. Thank you, Norman Powell, for going under 21.5 points last night, scored 13. Yeah, of course, I'm talking about Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action while watching football, basketball, gaming, all kinds of options. With over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all, simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection. You could win up to 100 times your money. Do you guys even know Norman Powell was averaging that many points? But not last night, baby.
You know what I love about Prize Picks? It's the flex play. So what Perloff just told you about picking two or more players across any sport, well, you can still cash out even if one of your picks doesn't hit. That's the beauty of Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MANDP, M&P, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
All right, this portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. Back on Maggie and Perloff, we are debating the greatest fictional fight of all time. Because tomorrow night on Netflix, there will be a semi-fictional, semi-non-fictional fight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, which we'll get more into tomorrow. I'm so excited for... Have we officially booked this person for tomorrow?
Yeah, they're in.
I am so excited. Not because of what he has to say about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, which is also very interesting. But we have a guest, I don't even want to say who it is, who has the true inside knowledge about Maggie Gray.
Conor McGregor?
No. There's
I know who it is.
I've never met Maggie Gray
expert.
Yeah.
I've known you a long time, but this person knows you a lot longer.
That's true. Also some news around the fight.
Ooh.
Which is that Mike Tyson, you remember when the fight first got postponed? This was supposed to happen in July, and it got postponed. They kind of, you know, there was an incident where Mike Tyson was on a plane, and he got kind of sick. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah,
he ulcer?
Yeah.
So apparently he was almost died.
Whoa.
They did not reveal the details of this. He had a bleeding ulcer. He was vomiting blood. He ended up having to go to the hospital where the doctors were, like, for a moment, unsure of how the outcome was going to go. So essentially what happened was all of his training got completely, like, erased, if you will, because he lost 25 pounds in 11 days. And basically trying to get yourself in peak condition for a fight, it all disappeared. So he had to start from scratch to get back up for this fight. And we're joking around about it. This fight is not, you know, it's kind of silly, and it's Jake Paul. It's a sanctioned fight, so it's going to go on Mike Tyson's official record. They're doing 2-minute rounds. I think they're doing 12-ounce gloves, so it's a little bit cushier. But it's being sanctioned by the state of Texas. So the punches are going to be real, that's for sure.
Did you reveal who broke this story?
No. Well, I don't know.
Are we going to keep this as a...
Secret till tomorrow if you want.
Yeah, we...
Oh, it is.
Perloff, you're going to get reprimanded by Big Friendly for spoilers.
That's yeah.
This would also be a spoiler, I guess, for tomorrow.
Our mystery guest for tomorrow?
Yes. Well, let's keep it a mystery guest.
Okay.
The ultimate insider.
I'm impatient. Can I text Maggie my guess and
Don't know? I forget.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know anything.
All right.
Sure, you can text.
By the way, I love when we do a great debate, which we're doing today, fake movie fights.
Yeah.
When Bogus gets the last choice and complains about it. Nothing
Not this time.
Me...
Not this time, though.
I meant to say that. That was my open, my lead into my thing. I usually... correctly or incorrectly complain about my draft position, but I almost couldn't type fast enough my choice in when EJ told me the topic last night, and I was so nervous that one of you guys were going to pull it. So when he said you got it, I was ecstatic.
I barely got a breath in before Bogish was able to text EJ back
that
in that group chat.
Text was so fast.
Incredibly fast.
That's so funny. I mean, you do have a great choice, but I wouldn't think that it was like, oh, man, I got to get to this, the greatest fight in movie history.
Happy Gilmore versus Bob Barker?
Yeah, I mean.
It's A+.
It's like, oh, I love it, but it's not exactly what I think of great movie fights. I'm like, oh, well, of course, Bob Barker, not Clubber Lang versus Rocky.
The Price is Wrong bleep is a more significant line to me than if he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies.
Man, that's another great poll question. The memorable lines from all of these fights. Like, which one is it? Price is Wrong? Is it Brent killed a guy? Is it from My Choice, which was Anchorman?
That escalated quickly.
You should lay low.
What's the line he says about pets and happy? Doesn't he say something about spaying and neutering your pets too?
Oh, for Barker?
Yeah, I thought he had a line about that.
In the fight?
I think he says something to Happy Gilmore about neutering your pets, dude. The famous Bob Barker line.
Obviously, famous lines in Rocky abound. I'm not an Avengers person, so I'm going to take your word for it.
You had the line.
Avengers, assemble.
Yeah.
Manny, is there a famous line from Saving Private Ryan? I can't believe you picked that movie. You are an outside-the-box thinker. We said fictional fight. You brought up World War II. I understand.
Right, but was that fight actual? Would that really happen?
Well,
yes, the fight, the opening scene in Normandy happened. You see, I thought about all this stuff. It's not just a hat rack, y'all.
you did pick the final, the when he died, the final scene, I guess. Not final scene, the final fight where the captain dies.
Yeah, the final scene where I mean, the final fight ended up being like a 15-minute fight. But yeah, I mean, just to grab audio, I'm not going to pull the 15-minute audio, just grabbing a good old Captain John Miller passing away.
So sad. Hell, we were all having such a good time.
Explosions, gunfire, sounds like a fight.
By the way, everybody got their picks, okay? So Bogish got to pick his first pick, so that was good for him. And Manny made the poll today.
Yeah.
So all the grievances from
there you go
from Manny and Bogus, they can be erased today.
You know who really struggled with this one the most was EJ, because you had like 20 choices you wanted to make.
I literally thought about like 3 choices during this show, and I'm mad. I'm already mad.
Here's one. Nadal's in Dallas. Nadal, best fictional fight of all time is who?
Good morning, guys. So many came to mind. You know, the Punisher, Daredevil. You put those guys in a narrow hallway, game over, right? But I spoke to EJ, and I'm like, you know what? Batman versus Bane.
Man, that's a great one. We've got a little of the sound. Let's hear it.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark.
Is that Schwartz?
I was born in it, molded by it.
That's me, Perloff.
I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then, it was nothing to me but blinding.
There you go.
See, how did you get that audio of me?
This is...
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? I was born in it, molded by it.
Nadal, not bad.
You see, you know, I'm going to give you a Frank Caladendo secret here. So anybody, really, if you can lower your voice, cover your mouth with your hand, and just recite that line, you pretty much should sound like Bane.
All right, well, let's give it a try.
Perloff, go for it.
Oh, I can't. Oh, I didn't think you were going to go to me on that.
Wait.
Please don't.
What's the line?
Please,
it's like, all the darkness. What is it?
I think darkness is your ally.
You think darkness is your ally.
Yes.
Listen, I'm a Bills fan. I was born in the darkness.
Yeah.
You're still there.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about Sunday.
I think I said because you were born in Binghamton, you were born in the darkness.
The sun does not shine there. Well put.
Mahomes guarding the door. The light's on the other side.
Forever. Bogus, you have headlines for us.
And they're sponsored by PXG. Staying long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football and use code football. I hate Manny. The Sixers lost again last night, and Joel Embiid and Paul George sat out again, but who cares? It's Eagle season. First place Philly hosting second place Washington tonight. Only an extra Commanders loss separates them. Jalen Hurts has your Washington scouting report.
They got great players playing hard. The way they are able to create problems up front, their linebackers are really good players, smart players, instinctual players, fast players. And then out wide, they're very sticky in coverage.
The Commanders have the Throw out the record. The biggest names on the injury report for this one, new corner Marshawn Lattimore remains out with a hamstring injury, but running back Brian Robinson should come back after missing two with his own hammy issue. But,
by the way, that was great opposing teams. They have great players. Like, thanks for that scouting report. He's just like, get me through this interview.
Wouldn't it be funny one day if a guy's like, you know what? Roster's a little thin.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the command?
Yeah. That weak side linebackers are real stiff. Torch him on Sunday.
Remember Tom Brady said that anytime he said a guy was really good, it meant he was really terrible.
No, did he say that?
Yeah.
They got a really great safety. He's playing really well. You just knew he was gonna. He said, "I'm taking shots at that guy all game."
I remember he said he lied. I didn't know he like went the exact opposite.
I believe the quote was, "We're gonna light his ass up," is what he said.
And you know how many times he used to say it about Antonio Cromartie, and now I'm like, oh, that's why he got targeted so much when he was on the Jets. Every week, Tom Brady would be like, "No, Antonio Cromartie's a really good player," and then like Cromartie would give up 170 yards to Welker, and I'm like, the Brady said he was good. Why can't he stop Welker?
He jumped every possible route known to man. No. Antonio Cromartie, one of my favorite players of all time.
Very relieved to report that the Celtics have recovered from losing their NBA Cup opener two nights ago.
10 on the shot clock. Tatum comes out, sets the high screen, receives the pass from Derek White, attacks the left side, pump fake, hangs in the air, high off the window, and he gets another bounce. It's a Jason Tatum takeover late in the third, and the Celtics hit the century mark with a minute to go in quarter number three.
That's Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio. Tatum scored 36. His team won the second half, 74-54, to win the game in Brooklyn, 139-114. Overtime in Milwaukee last night, Giannis scored 11 points. The Pistons, as a team, scored 9. The Bucks win in the game. Giannis finished with 59 points, his second most ever, the most in the league so far this season in the 127-120 final. Just 50 points for Wemby in the Spurs' 139-130 home win over the Wizards. The points and the 8 threes, career highs for Wemby. It's also 3 straight games with 6 or more triples. And LeBron with his 3rd straight triple-double, 35 points, 12 rebounds, 14 assists. The Lakers topped the Grizzlies 128-123 to hit 6-0 at home. The Cavaliers are 13-0 everywhere. A 114-106 win in Philadelphia. Donovan Mitchell, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists. From men's college hoops, number 14, Creighton beat Houston Christian 78-43. Greg McDermott breaking his tie with Dana Altman for the most wins in program history. And hockey last night, already mentioned it quickly this morning, Ivan did not score. But the Avalanche did beat the Kings 4-2. 3 goals in that one from Mikko Rantanen. Guys, back to you.
Don't you know, like, this time of the year in college basketball, when you get the most random schools in basketball scores, like, oh yeah, Lemoyne, they will lose by 40 to anybody, or like Troy, although Troy has a football program too.
But our good friend Dusty Stanfield, NFL marketing rep, his son goes to Houston Christian, plays football there, formerly Houston Baptist, home of Bailey Zappi. So Houston Christian, we're big Houston Christian fans.
No bad words on Lemoyne. Lemoyne College, Josiah Gray, I graduated high school with him, Washington Nationals pitcher. Don't talk down on the Dolphins.
There are no random colleges, Maggie.
Manny, half my high school went to Lemoyne. I can definitely talk
on the Dolphins.
Or like Fisk.
They're called
Randall.
The Dolphins?
Yeah. Upstate New York, the Dolphins.
Houston Christian is called the Huskies.
Thinking. Yeah. Syracuse, New York, the Dolphins.
Houston Christian is the Huskies. Like a Husky? Like, are they doing the Iditarod down in Texas?
It's also the UConn logo. There's like a whisker different between the Huskies.
Yeah, this is random names. Like, why?
What did you think it was? Like some slightly overweight person? Like, it's Husky, like a dog. Like, yes, we know what a Husky is. That would be someone who's like wearing a, you know.
No, I'm saying the Houston Christians should not be. Huskies is known as a Pacific Northwest.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Wait. What did you think? I thought it meant a chubby person? What are you talking about?
No, there's no other husky it could be besides
Huskies run the Iditarod in Alaska. They don't come down to Houston. Yeah, they have way too much hair. They'd be hot in the Houston sun.
Well, Maggie sees all the dolphins up in Syracuse anyway. So.
Did you think that?
Honestly,
I thought it was
a real problem up there.
Like a husky guy and like a buffet is going to be the mascot?
No, I think if I could translate, she thought it was funny that you had to explain the difference as if people would be confused by you saying Huskies.
You're like, Husky? Like the dog? I'm like, no, like the overweight person.
Like, you didn't need to elaborate on
Huskies. Like, that's an exact example of, like, you know what? Do you really have to take that shot there? And by the way, I have an interesting follow-up on a big shot E.J. Stewart took early in the show.
At who?
We shall see.
Whoop!
Is that a tease?
That's a tease for next break.
Did you get my text, by the way? Was I right?
Yes, you're right.
Yes.
The mystery guest for tomorrow. 855-212-4227. All right, we come back. Perloff's calling out EJ.
All right, the Dependable Player of the Week is sponsored by Depend and the Prostate Cancer Foundation, reminding you that health is a long game and screening for prostate cancer is easier than ever. Learn more at depend.com. Seems pretty straightforward, Maggie. It's got to be Victor Wembanyama. 50 points is my choice.
I think it's LeBron James having another triple-double as the Dependable Player.
That's a good one.
Who else would EJ have picked for this? All right, I'm going to go with LeBron. What do you have?
All right, so this week's dependable player of the week is Victor Wembanyama.
I've got it.
50 points in last night's win over the Washington Wizards, 139-130. He also hit 8 threes in this ballgame.
It's amazing.
How do you guard that guy?
The league hasn't found out yet. Haven't figured it out.
No. I mean, it's not like they're going to win 60 games because you can't guard. They're 6-6. We'll see. Beating the Wizards with, again, theme of the show, asterisk on that 50-point performance. It's like when Malachi Flynn dropped 52 last year. I'm not exactly writing his Hall of Fame speech.
Because former Knicks.
Scored, 50 on the Wizards. Come on. Manny could put up a 30-burger on that team.
That'd be nice.
We got to do a debate about that, which is because there was a controversial foul call last night because someone fouled another person on their hair.
Josh Hart was the one that fouled Kobe White's hair.
But Kobe White's hair is a cheat code.
It's so mesmerizing. Evidently. He plays for the Bulls, by the way, and he played for North Carolina. It's so mesmerizing as he runs up and down the court. But should your hair be considered part, obviously it's part of your body, a foulable part of your body? Like in football, if you've got dreads or something or long hair out of the back of your helmet like George Kittle, you can pull on that person's hair and it's totally legal.
And sometimes when guys get hair pulled out in NFL, it's like, what a brutal sport. Can you imagine how much that hurts?
It'd be so painful.
But you said
something interesting. Would you rather break a finger or get your hair pulled out? Ow.
In track, there was a woman who won a race because her hair went over the other person.
This is like back a million years ago, like in the 80s. I think someone actually won a gold medal because their hair went over the finish line first.
Amazing.
Yeah. But it's your chest is now we know.
There was a boxer this weekend who had and this happens a lot. You had to have a mid-fight haircut because the hair was, I think this case was preceding his vision.
But sometimes they
cut off
the corner man cut his hair.
Yeah, legit just cut off a big swath of his hair. That happens a lot.
That gives new meaning to the word cut, man.
Yeah.
Like he didn't like go to the side and have a guy who's like, all right, here's what we're going to do.
Put a cape on?
Yeah, put a cape on.
What is this, a 3? What level are you on here? Yeah, let me cut your eye open. Yeah. And then
after round two, he's like, I'm just not feeling my look. Gotta get tighter on the sides here.
Got any hair gel back there? Speaking of which, greatest fictional fights, but I think you wanted to call EJ out.
Yes.
In a callback.
I was called out because there's a story about Shador Sanders pulling up to a handicap spot or something in Boulder, Colorado, in his car. Maybach.
His fancy car.
And EJ pointed out via Rick Ross that it's Maybach. Are you sure about that?
Maybach music. That's how we say it in the culture. Maybach music.
Yes.
Maybach.
But when I said it, called me out as if I was wrong.
I didn't say it on air, but yeah, because no one calls it that.
But it is called a Maybach.
Courtney,
no, it is certainly not Maybach. The CH letters in German are to be pronounced as a H sound. H. So it is not Maybach either, but rather Maybach.
Maybach.
Who is that person?
Yeah, who is that?
That is the arbiter of the English language, the Lord's English. I don't know. We just Googled how do you say Maybach. Because I was like, I still think it's Maybach. Because I mean, even when the Shador Sanders story came up, Bogus read it to us. I swear he said Maybach. So I didn't know about the Rick Ross song, which I'll admit. But maybe if you say it that way, I think you went, I think Rick Ross probably was rhyming or just, I don't know, whatever.
No, it's just, it's.
The word, the car, I've seen a million. Brandon Marshall had one in my parking garage, former NFL wide receiver, a humble brag. And I asked him, what kind of car is that? And the car guy said, oh, he has a Maybach.
Wait. Right, but Brandon Marshall would tell you he has a Maybach.
Maybach. Yeah, just but you like can't correct me for that. The German car.
They have a Maybach.
You can't correct me for that. Like, you, I didn't know how people call it, but it's called a Maybach. That's the name of the car.
No, but I feel like the, oh my God, all these athletes and rappers who talk about having Maybachs, like, that's a thing. That's not.
But why would you laugh at me for saying it that way?
Because Shador Sanders wouldn't call it a Maybach. He would say he has a Maybach.
Maybach.
In fact, I guarantee you I can find a clip of him saying, oh, I have a Maybach.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What's the original story here? Shador Sanders pulled up in what?
I thought it was a fancy Rolls Royce car. But maybe it wasn't me.
No, okay. It was a Maybach.
And that was the story? There's nothing more to the story?
It was a big
star
deal.
Star athlete has nice car?
No.
Star athlete has NIL deal.
That's not news at 11.
A Maybach or a Maybach is extremely expensive.
A college athlete pulling up in a $350,000 car, was it noteworthy?
Yeah, it's like having
that
a Lamborghini.
A big story.
I know. We had the story that Bijan Robinson at Texas had a Lamborghini. And I said at the time, if I were in the draft process and I were a GM, the only thing I want to know is how did he return the car at the end of the season? If it doesn't have a scratch on him, on it, I want him to draft him. If it's all junked up, then I don't want to draft him.
Right. But well, the point was
this that is just this is just the way of the world now.
No,
Beck's driving a Lamborghini.
Is he really?
Yes, guys. This is the new era.
Well, I think Shador has a little more swag than the average college quarterback. That's my opinion.
Well, he also
I
mean,
Maybach
up as a
at times is a $1 million car. Like there are some Maybachs that are expensive.
Okay, but he first of all might not own it. They might be lending it to him.
Do you believe that?
Publicity, but also.
Dion gave it to him.
Or Dion gave it to him. Right. So Shador grew up a rich kid. It's different.
Maybach. I'm just curious. You don't notice that Shador Sanders is a little more, I'm not sure, just out there. I mean, he has his own. I just sent a clip to EJ. He's interviewing Zlatan on his own podcast. It's called Two Great Athletes. I'm sorry. Like, I don't think like Jackson Dart is interviewing Zlatan. I just think Shador is clearly at another level of college stardom and confidence than anybody I've ever seen in my life. There's never been, maybe Bronny James. There's never been a college athlete like this, Shador.
That's really funny. I didn't know he had a podcast called Two Great Athletes.
Well,
and he's already
what's it called? I'm sorry. Does anyone know? It's called Two Something or Others. Yeah, Shador was interviewing. I'm sorry. Carson Beck does not have Lionel Messi on his podcast.
Yeah, but this is the way of the world now. Maybe Shador is the like peak of it.
Too Legendary is the name of Shador Sanders' podcast.
What could Shador Sanders and Lionel Messi possibly have a conversation?
It was Zlatan.
Okay, let me go ahead and ask the question again. What could Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Shador Sanders have in common that they could? We're talking about a 40-year-old Swedish dude and a 20-something-year-old American.
Tell you right now what they have in common. Same car. A Maybach, or as Shador would call it, a Maybach.
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 Maybe Shador speaks Argentinian Spanish, like that dialect. It's possible. He's going to be unlike
Maybach music.
Maybach. My point was Shador is not leaving Colorado to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not happening.
Well, this is what Dion said. This is the latest news, is he said he would quietly influence where Shador and Travis Hunter are both going to get drafted. And my response to that is, when has Dion ever done anything quietly?
Great point.
There's no way that this is not going to leak out, be a story, because they're not saying which teams, because we don't know the draft order yet. And also, I get where he's coming from a father standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see your son go to a bad organization. But at the same time, I mean, how do you know? Like,
how do you know if the franchise is going to work out or not?
It's going to work out or not. You could have, you know, what do they say? Best laid plans. Like back in the day when Eli Manning did this, the Giants were very different. Would you want to go to the Giants now? No way.
I feel like Dion lives in Texas, right? He's from Florida, lived in Atlanta. I feel like geography is going to be a big deal here. Maybe Carolina.
But that's a terrible reason. It's a terrible reason because Carolina is the dumps as far as an organization, not the city, but just football-wise.
Yeah, I know, but maybe Dion thinks, hey, this is a blank slate. We can improve. Dave Canales seems like possibly a promising coach. I don't know. It's better. It's the best I got. Then again, Dion did go to Boulder, Colorado, which is quite cold. What would you pick a team based on? Because if you're looking at a top five team, they're only in the top five because they stink.
Exactly. So I don't know if you can really make this perfect. You
right.
know? And let's be honest, it took two out of nowhere runs for the Eli Manning New York Giants thing to become a thing. Eli never won another playoff game outside of those two Super Bowl runs.
I know, and the Chargers had got Phillip Rivers, who was a Hall of Famer.
Which is crazy, right? Anyway.
Know what he drives? A minivan. There's only one way to say that.
That is true. Thank you, DJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, the Weedos, the Coffee Drinkers. You guys were great on the phones today as well. The greatest fictional fight of all time. We'll be back tomorrow to break down some football for you.
Maybach.
Maybach.